You have your Bibles, Philippians chapter 4, and this verse has sort of come alive to us. We got a thought from it that we wanted to share with you tonight. Philippians 4:19. I haven't always been able to say what I'm fixing to say, but I know what Paul was saying. I've got 47 years of experience as a witness to what he said. And I could tell you story after story after story of these 47 years, how God has done that. But in Philippians 4:19, he said, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in Washington, D.C. Boy, that'd be pitiful, wouldn't it? To all his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, I want you to notice something tonight. It did not say needs. You'll hear people a lot of time talking about their needs that they have. He didn't say needs. It said need. My God shall supply all your need. Now, this is an amazing thing that come to my mind, because if you remember back in Luke chapter 9, when Christ was talking to the disciples, he mentioned to all of us that we're to take up our cross daily and follow him. Now he's talking about a daily need. Every day there is a daily need in my or your life. Without him, you can do nothing. So if you can do nothing without him, then that means when you awaken in the morning, you may try to do something. But 9 out of 10 times, you'll fall flat on your face if you try to do it within your own strength. I thought about little Maddie as I was standing there looking at her. Michelle has gone through it. And yet all these weeks that she's been over there sleeping in the room by her, and I can just imagine. And yet now the Lord's just bringing around. They say there's no cancer, etc., hoping to be out of there before long. But yet there has been a daily need. In other words, the need is already there before you need it. That's what I want to get across to you tonight. I want to give you some blessed assurance, give you something to encourage you. I doubt very seriously there's anyone in here that's not facing some sort of a need. And you may not even know it yet. And sometimes when it comes to that particular time, it can just knock you flat on your face. I mean, it can get you so depressed and so discouraged, and you don't know how to handle it. But you know, the Bible said, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Amen? And if we acknowledge him, then you can rest assured he will take care of the need. And I saw this as I was studying it out. You know, there's a little song. He is all I need. He is all I need. Jesus is all I need. You don't really see that until some things happen in your life and you experience some things in your life and you go to realizing this one let me down or that one let me down or I don't understand why this happened and everything, but yet Jesus was so near to me at that time. Jesus took care of the need at that time. And Paul is addressing this. Notice, as Paul said in verse 18, see, he could say, but my God. He could really say it the way he said it. It's already a proven fact with me. But my God shall. See, I have all and abound. I'm full. Paul found the secret. He knew where his need was. And he went there for the need. Are you listening to me? See, he already had the need. It's already there. But Paul knew, and you and I have that need, and so we need to learn to go to that need. And I want to give you three little introductory thoughts and then give you some substance on three thoughts that the Lord has given us, and we'll be done. But I want you to think about this. The tree was already there before Zacchaeus needed it. Stop and think how many times Zacchaeus walked by that very sycamore tree. I've been there numerous times, and I've seen those sycamore trees in that area. And I wondered if the same one Zacchaeus had gotten up was still there. I was going to climb it if I could have knew for sure which one it was, amen. I'd have knocked the rest of that bark off of there, amen. You can believe that. But see, the tree's already there. I've heard people tell me, I got to go, and I've got to face this tomorrow, and I want you to really pray for me. Hey, the need's already there. The tree was there before Zacchaeus ever needed it. But you see, when he needed it, he had to come to where it was. See, God allows providentially all the things that happen in our lives to get us to that place that he intended for us to be at all along. It's already there. He just gonna get us to that place. So the tree was already there before Zacchaeus could even climb it. And then secondly, the lamb was there before Abraham was born, much less Isaac. You remember the passage of scripture in Genesis 22:8, and Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb. The lamb was already there. Amen. Boy, I'm glad, praise God. Hey, somebody said, well, Brother Martin, what if you'd have died 10 years ago? The lamb was there before then. The lamb's been there. He's there. And that if you can understand those first two thoughts, then this last thought will amaze you. You see, salvation being eternal awaited you and not you it. Are you listening to me? You see, if salvation was not eternal like a lot of religions believe, you'd be amazed at religions that preach you can be saved today and lost tomorrow. But if salvation was not already there, it's awaiting you. The ones that got saved here the other Sunday, I got to teach a little class for Brother Leonard and fill in. And I think it was about 9 back there. And yet salvation was there waiting for them to get to where they needed it. Amen. Somebody said, oh, you can get saved anytime. No, you can't. You get saved when he draws you to you, him, when he awakens you, when he shows you your need. Amen. And so I saw this in salvation. Listen to the verse. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9, and being made perfect. Now, if you had time, go back into Proverbs chapter 8 and read all of those verses, you'll see a description of this person who came and tabernacled in a body we knew of as Jesus, but yet he was daily the delight of his Father in heaven. So being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation. So let me say, first of all, the need was met in eternity. Oh, yeah. The need was already met in eternity. Now, I've been in this book 47 years studying it, so I'm fixing to say something. I hope it don't blow somebody's mind. But I've always been saved. I just had to be born again. You understand that? Do you know why Jesus said you must be born again? See, if you hadn't been born the first time, you would have never knew nothing about that need. Hello? I blew somebody's... Turn the lights back on. You see, hey, he knew me way back yonder in eternity. He wrote my name down in the Lamb's Book of Life. But I had to be born of flesh. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit, spirit. And he told Nicodemus, said, you must be born again. Well, thank God you was born one time. Amen. You know, if you've been born again, you knew you were born before. And so Jesus came that I might be born again. Listen to this passage of scripture. It blesses my heart every time I look at it. And it just gets deeper and deeper and deeper. In John chapter 1, it said, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And then look at verse 2. The same was in the beginning with God. Now, when God wrote the Bible, he didn't write the Bible for it just to be laid out 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, like man tried to fix it. You see, you have to compare spiritual things with spiritual. Jump over to verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Now go back over to verse 3. All things were made by him. All things. What you're sitting on tonight was made by him. God enabled man to fashion it to where you could sit on it. You'd have hated to have taken it just the way they cut it down, brought it in here and put some pegs on it and be sitting on that tonight, huh? Boy, you'd appreciate a good comfortable pew if you had to sit on a trunk. So the Bible tells us in verse 3, all things were made by him, and without him, Jesus, the need, was not anything made that was made. Now drop down to verse 14. And the Word was made flesh. That's the great mystery. Amen. Paul spoke of it in Timothy. What a mystery. And he dwelt among us. If you ever get a chance to go, and Frank and I were talking about it today, and we still hope that maybe this October we can go. We've got for sure two or three or four in here that won't go with us. But boy, if you ever get to go and get off the bus there in Nazareth and just walk around there in Nazareth and look at that little building and say, maybe that's where the carpenter shop was. Maybe Jesus walked down the street here and see all of the history and get familiarized with that. It'll be a blessing to your heart. I'm glad that this person, the Word, was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, bear that in mind, because we're going somewhere with that. Salvation being eternal awaited you and not you it. And Hebrews 5:9 said, being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation. So we see the need was met in eternity. But then notice Hebrews 1:4. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Not only was the need met in eternity, the need was ministered to in existence. God assigned two angels, at least two angels, to me from the day I was born right up until the day I was saved and even to now. was teaching this somewhere, and some fellow raised his hand and said, well, you probably got a couple of new ones. You probably scared a couple of them others to death. Well, when I'd be driving to a meeting in the old days, man, I wanted to be there before I left. You know, and I'd go as fast as I could. They slowed me down, though. Grace slowed me down. Grace mixed with law. See, the need was ministered. God assigned ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. Before any of you in here tonight, before you were ever saved, God had angels assigned to you. And if they hadn't have protected you and took care of you and watched over you, you'd have never gotten to the day of salvation. A lot of my friends are dead and in hell that I ran with. They didn't have ministering spirits assigned to them. See, God, in his foreknowledge, knew that I was going to be saved, and so he could assign those ministering spirits to me. As our brother was talking last Wednesday night, he didn't know it, but when he was going all through the areas of his life and down there at Auburn, boy, you need some ministering spirits if you're at Auburn, don't you? See, they were watching over him and they were taking care of him. Amen. Isn't that amazing? Hey, y'all might as well wake up now. Some of you are acting like you're pouting. You ought to be ashamed. I'm not talking to you, Judy. I'm talking to Bill. So we see the need met in eternity. The need is ministered to in existence. But now I want you to notice Titus 2:11. The Bible said, for the grace of God that bringeth. Boy, you're talking about a word that ought to bless your heart now when we get into this here for a minute or two. He said, the grace of God that bringeth. Jesus was full of grace. And when he came to this earth, he came for one reason and one reason only, to seek and to save that which was lost. And he brought salvation with him. Amen. Somebody said, I want to bring somebody to Christ, you know. An account in the Bible where one brought his brother to Jesus. Well, that's the only account you'll ever find in the Bible where one brought another to Jesus, because Jesus was there. Now, Jesus is not here right now. You can't bring anyone to Jesus. Jesus can bring himself to them, to you. He brought himself to me. Look what he had to go by and go through and work around to get. I was as religious as you could be, and yet lost. And God brought his son to me. Oh, yeah. Now watch. Hebrews 6:7. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it and bringeth forth herbs, meat for them by whom it is dressed. Oh, I hope you'll get that. There's never a Sunday goes by God ain't dressed out something for you. How many of you like turkey and dressing? Amen. Boy, God can dress you up just what you need. You ever heard somebody say, I left that church because I wasn't getting fed. There's something wrong with you. Well, nothing wrong with the preaching. Amen. Hey, God is responsible for bringing you what he's dressed for you. See, now the rain falls from heaven. It falls on the just and the unjust. But yet it only does, as it says here, bringeth forth herbs, meat for them by whom it is dressed. And these are the ones that receive blessings from God. What a blessing. You see, I can honestly say for 47 years, he supplied my need. We left with a 57 Volkswagen pulling behind a little trailer everything. Well, you're not going to pull a big trailer with a 57 Volkswagen. And pulling what we needed down to South Louisiana because the Lord had said go. I had not one dime promised to me. I believed God. I read that scripture. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And I told the wife, I said, we're going to South Louisiana. And I went down there and I started the first service I had. Brother Frank was asking me, was reminiscing today. He said, Brother Marty, tell me about your life story in the ministry. And I said, when we got to Houma, Louisiana, we rented a little house on 301 Richmond. And I borrowed 21 chairs. I don't know why I got 21, but I borrowed 21 chairs from the Assembly of God Church there in Houma, Louisiana. And we had our first service that Sunday morning. And it was 10 o'clock. Nobody had got there. And we didn't have any furniture in the living room. We sold off what we didn't think we'd need and just carried what we had to have to get by to start a new work. And May said, Marty, you think anybody's coming? I said, yeah, I got the chairs. And sure enough, there was a knock on the door about 10:30 and opened the door and there stood Paul Hebert and his wife Judy. And they're just smiling and said, is this where the services are going to be this morning? I said, they are. And they opened the door. They came in, sat down. And Ray Robinson, his wife and son came. And another Robinson brother and his wife and daughter came. And then a couple more came in, a couple more came in. Before you know it, man, it's looking good in there. And we had our first service there in our house in Houma, Louisiana, way back in January 1971. And from that day until this day, my God has supplied all our need. Amen. I've told y'all before this, I know. I went to, when we had the need, and pray. I went to the mailbox when May was going through the cancer, opened the box and took out $76,000 worth of checks. Stack of checks like that. From all over the country, they'd send in to help. And go back to the mailbox and take out. And went down to the hospital and seen the administrator in there, the financial administrator, I guess it was. And I said, would you help me with all these checks? And I took those things out of the bag, child, and laid them up on that. And she said, would you get these? I said, out of the mailbox. And I said, I got to sign them all, and I want to put them on her bill. And big old tears started rolling down. She said, you a preacher? I said, yes, ma'am. I pastor a little church up here at Hoganville. I ain't never seen this much. I never seen this like this before in my life. I said, yes, ma'am. I'm a Baptist. I said, She said, but I hadn't been going to church, but I won't rededicate. She seen God working through something like she had never seen before. And you know, the doctors didn't charge us a penny. God just provided. So whoever it was, we don't even know to this day. I don't know to this day. The drugstore bill for the medicine and everything to try to counteract and help to rest and all like that was hundreds and hundreds of dollars a month. And somebody took care of that. Somebody paid that. I could tell you story after story after story all down through these 47 years. Well, I got over here in Childersburg. The Holy Ghost told me, said, you're going to move to Childersburg. And I said, well, amen, Lord. I don't want to, you know, interfere or anything like that, but okay. And then Brother Frank said, Brother Marty, your old truck's about done. I drove it all over this country for the Lord. And he said, I believe God's going to give you a vehicle. I said, well, if I get one, he'll have to give it to me. I ain't got no money. And I seen God put the money in my hand. And we go over to Bowden, Georgia, to Toyota feller. And he had ordered the car for me that I wanted. And he didn't even know. And I had the exact money he told me he was going to have. And I laid it on his desk. And I had prayed that it not have no more than 21,000 miles. And I know it'd be the Lord's will. That's one. I said, by the way, what you got here? He said, it's a RAV4. I said, that's what I wanted. He said, it's a 2010. I said, that's what I wanted. He said, got 21,000 miles on it. I said, that's what I wanted. Amen. You see, I can just go on all night long. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. As a matter of fact, God gave me a song. I might have this thing recorded. I don't know. It's just according to how it goes overnight, but I'm going to close with this and I'll be done. Jesus knows me. This I love. He who came to save from above. One day soon he'll call me home. Never again to be alone. Yes, Jesus knows me. Yes, Jesus knows me. Yes, Jesus knows me. For the Bible tells me so. I'm working on the second verse. Let's stand our feet. Well, I miss old Tip. He's always got me some water up here. Now my throat's dry. Please pray for a pastor. I don't know if he'll have to be over all night tonight and what's going on, but his dad is. He said, Brother Marty, if you could go with me, he said, my daddy wouldn't even know you.
Leave that on,
Oh, okay. He said, my daddy wouldn't even know you, Brother Marty. And you know, when you come down to that time in life where you see that God is going to take a loved one or God's going to take a friend, his grace is sufficient because he's the one that brought it. See, he brings you your grace every day of your life and he strengthens you. I've had a lot of people come to me and they say, Brother Marty, I don't know how you're fighting that cancer and you lost your wife and yet you still run the roads and preach the gospel. I said, hey, he called me. The gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. And I said, well, I wouldn't take nothing from a journey now. Amen. Every now and then, even at my age, I get a little happy and have a running spell. I pay for it the next day, but I have a running spell. Amen. You cannot beat what he gives you. Because you know why? He gives you just what you need. Nothing, no line out, just what you need. That's what he gives you. Before we pray, is there a special request that needs to be made known? We'll go to the Lord in prayer. Anyone? I know we've had some made known prior to that, but we've got a couple of meetings that we'll be going to here shortly, about three meetings, and we'll be gone then. And I'm supposed to be gone a little over a month straight out into Louisiana and Texas. If you go out that far, you've got to be gone a little over a month or something like that. So I'd appreciate your prayers for us while we're out on the road. I don't know if he'll take me home out on the road one day or I'll be laying over in the apartment he'll take me or the rapture. I'm kind of hoping I live to go up in the rapture because I want to stick my tongue out at the devil when I'm going up. Amen. I'd love to do that. Amen. All right. Anyone have a special prayer request before we pray? All right. Our Father, we approach your throne of grace on behalf of our pastor and his dad. And I know his three sisters are burdensome and wearisome and all over this that's taken place in their family. How long this will go on, Lord, only you know. It's very, very doubtful that he will ever get better. We're not praying for healing, Father. We're praying for your will. We ask your will be done. But during that time, Father, we pray you'd watch over our pastor and you'd take care of him as he travels back and forth and sustain his body with the rest that he needs. We thank you for him and we love him and we appreciate him. Those other requests that have already been prayed for once, we'd ask again that you would interfere with what's going on in those lives. We pray for little Maddie. Love her. I remember the day we first met her, and I told her I was going to get her some Valentine hearts, and her little eyes just lit up, and she's been my buddy ever since. And I pray you'd bless her. Bless her mama as she stays with her and takes care of her. Lord, I pray we'll each leave here tonight realizing that we don't have to worry about the need. If two or more agree on earth is touching anything, you ask what you will, it'll be done for the glory of God. You said that in your word, and we take it your word. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. And the little tune, Jesus knows me, this I love. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world you put down in your Bible. And we're so thankful for that. As we go our separate ways tonight, Lord, pray you'd give us good traveling grace home. And the remainder of the week will be a blessing to us as we walk in your will and get ready for Sunday morning.